What an amazing love you have for us, Lord. Our chains are gone. We have been set free. So, Lord, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would overwhelm us with your presence and that we would hold fast to the truths of your word and the promises in the scriptures and that we would mature as we walk with you, grow and bear fruit, fruit that would last so that you would be glorified through our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvary Chapel in Pompano Beach. If you could turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, as we go through the book of James, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I'm so glad you're here with us this morning, and also those listening on Spirit FM 107.1 radio. James, a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ, renouncing any claim of rights to himself, but turning his life totally over to God. Now, his life surrendered to God is his will surrendered to God. He has become a great tool, listen, a great tool in God's hand. God wants to make you a great tool in his hand as you serve him. Each one of us, God has molded and shaped, prepared us, sent us into a sphere of atmosphere, whether it's in our neighborhoods, our jobs, around us. And as we surrender our lives to him, then he's able to use us to affect the lives of those around us. And listen, here's what else. He has included us in the plan of salvation, that through our message, as we make disciples, men and women would be saved by his grace. That to me is amazing. It's an amazing grace, because why he would pick me, I have no idea. And why he would pick you, you answer that question, right? God in his infinite wisdom, in spite of ourselves, says, hey, I've created you before the foundations of the world. I knew you. I knew what you would do, where you would go, what you would say. And at some point in your life, you're going to open up your heart to me. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If you invite me in, I would come inside of you. And you would dwell with me. We would have communion, this relationship together. Now, those who believe that has happened in your life, but here's what also needs to happen. We need to surrender more and more each and every day. Not so that we get more of God, but that he gets more of us. Because in Christ, Ephesians tells us, Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, that we have all things, all the blessings in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. I have all the God I need. He needs to get more of me. And what does that mean? Well, I need to surrender more. I need to start letting go of the things that were so important to me. You may have had friends when you were younger. Oh, we would die for our friends. We're buddies, we're bros, right? I don't see anybody I used to know. Where are they today when I got to cut my lawn or I need something done? They're nowhere to be found, right? The things as we grow older, the things that were so important to us begin to diminish in their influence in our lives, right? And then God brings us wisdom in his word and we begin to grow and then we have opportunities to serve him. James in the book of James tells us he's a bondservant. He's a slave. His life is set aside to serve the Lord. Now, we think of that word slave in bad connotations in today's society, but it's a picture of a life that is not owned of itself, but it's owned by its master. God owns you. He has bought you with a price. But what's so neat about his ownership, you're on his team now. You're protected by his people, by his power, right? You're guided and directed by his spirit. No one can snatch you out of his hands. The spirit that dwells in you, the Bible says, this is a guarantee and a seal of your inheritance. No one can take that from you. You're his. You have all the benefits, if you will, of the family of God. And all the promises in the scriptures, we need to hold on to those and live through those. Don't doubt the promises of God, but really live by the promises of God. That though I may go through the fire, he is with me and I will come out on the other side. And though the waters may rise, he's going to get me through. What a great friend we have in Jesus. Amen? James then goes on to tell us in chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. If you have your Bibles, underline that. That is a promise of God. If you lack wisdom, I'm not that wise. I don't understand the things of the Lord. I don't understand why I'm here or what my purpose is. He says to ask, and it will be given to you. Verse 5. That's a promise of God. You may not have total understanding today, but you'll begin to grow in your wisdom of the Lord. Listen, when I got saved, here's all I knew. That I was messed up, and I needed a Savior, and He was the Savior. And when I went up, the first one to the altar call that Wednesday night, crying like a baby, the Lord had washed me clean of my sin, lifted this weight of sin and debauchery off my shoulders, and set me free. My chains are gone. I have been set free. Now the physical, the things of the world are no longer holding me down. Why? He has set me free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's no doubt in God's promise. My life begins to change. It begins to transform. I no longer use those four-letter words that I use every other sentence several times. I no longer go to the places and hang out with the people that I used to hang out with. My life has changed. The Spirit of God comes in, He dwells within us, and He begins to change the way we think, right? We're being transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. So then now my transformation happens. Now I don't see things the same. I don't see people the same. I see people as precious and important in God's eyes, where before I could care less about someone. I was so selfish about me. And the Spirit of God comes in. And so what happens is, I didn't have all the understandings, but I began to ask the Lord to give me wisdom. I had all these questions about God. You ever have a question about God and you go to somebody and ask them? And you're like, no, that's not. They're winging it. You know when somebody has no idea what they're talking about, right? And I had all these questions of God, and I began to ask people, and I really couldn't get that satisfactory answer. And the pastor at the time was pushing the Bible college at the church, Calvary Fort Lauderdale. So I signed up for Calvary's Bible college. And listen, it took me 6 years to get a two-year degree. I was going extra part-time, skipping semesters. My kids were young at the time. I was working full-time as a policeman. And everything around me wanted me to stop. Everything. Issues at home, issues with the kids were sick all the time. Work was difficult. But here was my prayer to the Lord. Lord, if you want me to continue, you have to get me through. And guess what happened? That's exactly what He did. He answered this prayer, if you lack wisdom. I didn't have the wisdom of the things of the Lord. Now, when I say I went to Bible college, wow, that's great. It's just the tip of the iceberg, but it gives you a solid foundation of the Scripture teachings. But I asked, and the Lord began to give me wisdom, just as He said He would. Listen, just as He said He would. And when He says, I'm never going to leave you, guess what? He's never going to leave you. Isn't that great? Because these friends that were so important to me at some point in my life, they have left. They're not around anymore. They're not significant in my life. But God is always there, even when you fall. And unlike man, He's not going to sit back and laugh or capitalize on your falling, but He's going to pick you up. And He's going to help you to get back on your feet. And that's called repentance, going before the Lord. Oh, Lord, I messed up again. And He says, I know you would, and I forgive you. Let me help you up. Let me help you up. You see, sometimes we hide from the Lord, especially in the church. People may come and counsel with the pastor, and I know their life issues, and I know they're struggling with something, and they'll fall, and we won't see them for months. And then, hey, what happened? Oh, I messed up. Listen, I know you're going to mess up. God knows you're going to mess up. He gives you the remedy for that. It's to go before Him by the power of the Lord to ask. He is faithful and He will forgive. And so James is telling us that if we lack wisdom, Now, we all need wisdom. How many have enough wisdom? None of us, right? We all need more wisdom. God, give us wisdom and understanding. But then he also adds this, and this is very important because sometimes this may be you or me, but let him ask in faith, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, with no doubting. Because he just said he would give us wisdom. So when you ask him for it, don't doubt. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He goes to and fro. He's not stable in anything. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What's that? Those who would doubt the Lord, unstable, double-minded, not really committed to the Lord. Their mind goes with as the wind blows the waves back and forth. Oh, yes, Lord, you're mine. Oh, I can do it myself. I'm trusting in you, Lord. Oh, let me help them out. You ever help God out? You ever try to help the Lord out? Oh, Lord, we do that, right? We ask in prayer, and then we wait upon the Lord, and all right, Lord, you're not done yet. Let me help you out. And yet, listen, he has this plan. It's perfect timing. It's perfect timing. And that's where, as we talked about, perseverance in trials and tribulations produce patience and perseverance. Why? Because we live on God's timeline, period, not ours. And because we don't have all the facts, we need to depend upon him and wait upon him as he begins to, listen, unfold the plan that we're part of. God told Abraham to leave his family. Leave everything that you have and go to this place and I will show you what you will do for the Lord, right? And he partially obeyed the Lord, right? He did go, but he brought everything with him. He brought Lot. And God told him to leave your family. And we know the story, if you're not familiar with it. Lot was a picture of the world and sin. And he carried this with him along God's path. When God said, leave it behind. Listen, when you got saved, God is telling you, leave it behind. That's the old you. You have died to yourself. You've gone into that watery grave in the baptism. And you have risen anew in Christ Jesus. You're proclaiming publicly an inward change that has happened. I have died to myself, and I have risen anew in Christ. But because Abraham partially obeyed the Lord, and he brought alongside of him all these issues that would keep him bound, right? Keep him confused, not really seeing the clear plan to the Lord. And it wasn't until that day that he separated himself from Lot. He says, as far as you can see, that's yours, and I'll go the opposite way. You pick. I don't really care, right? Take whatever you want. I'm going to do what the Lord says. When he separated himself, listen, from the things that God told him to, then God began to unfold and show him the plan for his life. He tells him that you're going to be the father of many nations. And God was going to do such mighty work through this man. But it wasn't until he surrendered to the Lord. James is a bondservant. This is what he has done. And now he writes by the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage you and me. Listen, hold fast to the promises of the Lord. If you lack, ask and it'll be given to you. But don't doubt, because if you doubt, you don't really trust. You don't really believe he is the God or the Lord that you proclaim him to be. You are like a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. What does he say? If you lack, ask. We lack in a lot of things, don't we? Specifically wisdom. We don't have the whole plan. And this is what God wants us to do, to come to him. And his promises that he would tell us. The one who doubts lacks this faith. And he should not expect to receive anything. Norman Shirk wrote this: let me meet you on the mountain, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to burn a whole bush, just a few smoking branches, and I would surely be your Moses. Let me meet you on the water, Lord, just once. It would have to be a lake. It wouldn't have to be a lake, just a puddle after an annual rain, and I'll surely be your Peter. Let me meet you on the road, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to blind me on an expressway, just a few bright lights on the way to the chapel, and I would surely be your Paul. Let me meet you, Lord, just once, anywhere, anytime. Just meeting you in the Word is so hard sometimes. Must I always be your Thomas? Sometimes we're looking to be in the presence of the Lord on the mountaintop so often, and yet we live in the valley. We have these mountaintop experiences, if you will, where God does a mighty thing in your life, or He answers a mighty prayer, or He does a mighty internal healing that no one else knows about. Yes, Lord, You are mighty. You are real. I trust in You. But we don't live in those mountaintop experiences. We live in the valley. And it's the day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, right? It's called His daily bread. And Lord speaks to us and meets it with us in His Word. Must we always doubt? God's promises are faithful and true. Thomas was a doubter. Some of us sometimes doubt. It was something outside of his understanding, outside of his comprehension, that Jesus was dead and now He's alive. Oh, he may have been told that, but he didn't understand it so much. And he doubted, I got to put my hand in His side. I got to put my fingers in the holes in His hands. And here's what's neat about that story. And God is so good because, listen, He meets us where we're at. Did you capture that? God meets us where we're at. We're not always on task and on tune and understanding and walking. Sometimes we're really messed up, and God at that time steps in and says, I'm here. He knew Thomas was a doubter. He didn't say, you know what, I'm not going to even talk to him. I'm going to have nothing to do with this doubting Thomas. He doesn't believe in me. Is that what Jesus did? Is that what God does to you in your life when you call and reach out to Him? Absolutely not. He does the opposite. He shows up. He says, Thomas, here I am. Look at my side. Look at my hands. Put your hand in my side and your fingers in the holes. Believe and stop doubting. Stop doubting. God shows up in those times of doubt, and He shows us who He really is. Why does He do that? And quite often we may ask ourselves, man, if that was me, I would have nothing to do with myself because I'm so messed up. You ever feel that way sometimes? Oh, in the past I have, certainly. But God shows up because He's a Father. And He's a Father who cares. And He cares so much that He gave His all for you. Think about if you had a child and you, and I can't even say this, put this child to death for someone else. That every time you would mention that child's name, oh, that's my child. Jesus was the Father's Son. So precious to Him, yet He felt so much love and compassion for you that He gave up His Son. His most important possession, His Son, who would die for you so that you could live with Him forever. And that is why when we pray in the name of Jesus, oh, my Son Jesus, God answers that prayer. His precious Son, you've come in my Son's name? You believe in my Son who I have sent to die for you? Oh, in His name we come. And it's in His name that we ask. And it's in His name that we are transformed and changed. It has nothing to do with me, but it's all about Him. You've come in my Son's name? Ask in my Son's name, and I will answer. James then brings us into this realm of the rich and the poor people of the day. You know, society today looks upon those with wealth and say, yeah, that's it. They're successful. They've obtained it. They've made it, right? And yet, some of the most miserable people are those people of wealth because their dependency is upon their wealth. Jesus says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? His dependency is upon his wealth. Now, that's not saying that if you're a believer and you have money, that you're not going to heaven. It's absolutely not. If you have money, God has given it to you. If you're successful, God has enabled that. And if you have influence, God has given to you that. And so your wealth is given to you to build the kingdom of God, right? We talked last week, we're starting a radio station, Spirit FM Radio, 107.1. Going to reach about 500,000 people here in the county. Who's paying for that? Who's praying for that? Who's providing that? We are, through the power of the Lord, but it's our church, Calvary Chapel, Pompano Beach, who God is using, listen, to facilitate the broadcast of His Word out on the airways and worldwide on the internet. What a privilege it is for us to do this. And what a privilege it is for God to open up this door of opportunity that we would walk through in faith. Now, there may be some who look back, oh, they have a radio station. That must be a rich church. We're not a rich church. We're rich in the Spirit of God. And God is using people in the body who He has blessed financially to help build up this ministry. Listen, but we won't get through this door unless we're on our knees in prayer. Because Satan, at every step along the way, is trying to trip us up. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so Paul begins to speak about those rich. He says, verse 9, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humility, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. Your riches are not going to last forever. Linsick said, as the poor brother forgets all his earthly poverty, so the rich brother forgets all his earthly riches. And by faith in Christ, the two become equal. Listen, Donald Trump is running for president. He is a billionaire with a B. Who gave him that money? Who gave him that opportunity? Who gave him that influence? God did that. Now, he's going to be responsible for all that God has given to him. Or Gates, or all these wealthy people that God has given to them. But it's not, listen, it's not their riches that are going to bring them to the kingdom of God. In other words, when the gates of heaven are open and God raptures us into His presence, they're not going to have, like, special seating. Right? They're not going to be up in the balconies and having special desserts because they made it here on earth. They were rich. Right? And the poor man doesn't have to worry about, you know, not even getting in the door. You're going to have to wait over here because you were poor on earth. Who makes the rich and the poor? God does. Now, we may have some hand in that, in our faithfulness to the Lord or our surrender to the Lord. But it's God who gives, and it's God who takes away. So let not that rich man count upon his wealth. Verse 11, for no sooner the sun rises with the burning heat, then it withers the grass. Its flowers fall, and its beautiful appearance perishes. To the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. In your riches, I pray you're pursuing the Lord and supporting ministry and helping those in need. In your poverty, I pray you're praying to the Lord, because you could be so wealthy in your spirit to the Lord, which is the more important thing. Because that's what enters into the presence of the Lord, not the physical. There's no U-Hauls behind a hearse at a funeral, right? You're not bringing it with you. And all the pyramids where they broke into, they found all these riches as if they were bringing them into the next heaven, right? It's still there. You're not bringing it with you. Trials serve to remind the rich and the high that though they are comfortable in this life, it is still only this life which fades away as the grass browns and the flowers fade away. God is looking for our faithfulness. Our faithfulness, listen, in Him. In Him alone. And what is the reward for faithful service? More service. The reward for faithful service is more service. We've been praying that the Lord would extend our territories, the prayer of Jabez, that we wouldn't sin but glorify Him. God would extend our influence, and we're getting a radio station. And on the 20th, our worship team and myself are going, and some staff are going to Faith Farm in Boynton Beach. We're going to have a worship service there and a teaching there. And on the 21st, the next day, we're going to be at a pastor's conference where our worship team is playing, and I'm going to be one of the speakers at Calvary Chapel of Fort Lauderdale. Who's opening up these doors? God. And God doesn't forget all those times where you said, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. He hasn't forgotten that. And things may be difficult right now, but this is a season that you're going through. We live through seasons, not in seasons. We live through them because they pass. The Bible speaks of seed time and harvest time, and in between that is a waiting time and a nourishing time. But God is the one who makes it grow. And so as James, as a bondservant, surrendered to the Lord gives as we ask, as he's promised. But don't hold on to the things of the world. Don't count on the riches, but count on God. Because you know what? He never changes. He's always the same. His love, listen, doesn't diminish for you. God's love doesn't diminish how much he cares for you. It wasn't like, all right, I'm sending my son, and oh my goodness, I had no idea that this was going to happen. I don't love them as much as I once did. Now, we may feel that way in the physical, right? There may be a possession that we have, a car. Oh, man, that's it. I'm going to wax that thing every day, right? You ever have one of those cars? But your care and your love for that car begins to diminish. You know what? Oh, big deal. It's got a scratch. All right. And then as time passes, you begin to fade away from that. But God never does that with us. God loves you as much as he did before he ever made you. Before the foundations of the world, he thought about you. I want you. And not only did he want to create you, but he wanted you to live with him forever. Eternity. Now, we can't comprehend eternity in our minds. We could try to think it through because we live in a time and a space continuum, but God is eternal. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the God of the Old Testament, we've talked about that. The God who judged and killed those who were disobedient, what happened to that God? It's the same God. Why is he not judging men because of their disobedience today? Now, there were some that were in this, listening to those who were speaking of the Shemitah, and that God was going to judge America and bring wrath upon America because of the Shemitah. Look it up. We don't have time to go through it, but really, fire and brimstone financially because America didn't honor God. Now, there are many people that believe that, but we're living in a time of grace. Jesus, there's a time clock, right? In the book of Daniel, we're in the 69 sevens. There's one more seven-year period to go. When Jesus died on the cross, the clock stopped. And what is happening right now? We're living in a time of grace, so that God can draw all men to himself. He's not counting our sins against us, but he wishes that all men would come to his saving grace. That's here and now. And that's why he says in Matthew 28, and he says then to you and I, to go and make disciples, go make followers of me. Teach them everything that I've taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you. That's now. This is called the church age. We haven't replaced the Jew. The Catholic Church teaches replacement theology that the Christians now have replaced the Hebrew. What's going on with them? For now, for this time, they have been blinded because they have rejected the Savior. So in this time of grace, after the rapture of the church, where this window closes, the last Gentile is saved, church is raptured, everything turns back to the Jew. And the 144,000 witnesses go out to witness to the nation of Israel. God has a plan. It's all worked out in his timeline. So what do we really know? All I know is I need to trust in him. Because he is so much bigger than me. He has such a bigger plan than I could ever imagine or think. And it's going to happen so fast. It's November. Christmas is a few weeks away. Can you believe that? What happened to this year? It went by. Blip, it's gone. That's the picture of our life. And then we're in the presence of the Lord. For no sooner as the sun rises with a burning heat, than it withers the grass and its flowers fall and the beauty of its appearance perishes. So the rich man will fade away in his pursuits. In chapter 5 in the same book of James, you don't have to turn there, verses 1 through 3, he says, come now, you rich. So James is talking about those who have this wealth. Come now, those who are rich, and weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire, and you have heaped up treasures in the last days. He's speaking of those who don't glorify the Lord. Their trust is in the physical. Their trust is in their wealth. Humble yourselves, therefore, before God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. So back to chapter 1 in James, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised, another promise, a crown of life to those who love him. Don't give up. Why? Because when we endure these temptations, God promises a crown of life and a life that is eternal, a life that is eternal with him. The Bible says that we see things now as through a dim mirror. You know, I can see myself, but I really can't see real clear. But one day, it says, we'll see him face to face. And all these questions that we have, we'll have answers to, will be revealed to us. But don't give up. The thing that makes men and rivers crooked is following the line of least resistance. We're to be strong in the Lord. Strong in our faith. Because there's a lot of things that want to bring us down. Now, I gave the illustration last week is that the biggest enemy of a boat is water, right? And yet, a boat lives in water. And it's not the water outside the boat that sinks the boat. It's the water that gets in the boat that sinks the boat. Don't let the things around you and the things of the world get in you to bring you down. Live strong. We were called to live in this world, but we're not from here. How many of you have seen the movie Superman? It came out like 1976, and Marlon Brando's in it, Chris Reeves, and I didn't remember it. We watched it the other night. In the beginning of the movie, the father sets the son in some type of craft, and he sends him to Earth from whatever the planet was. And as he arrives on the other side, the father appears to him in a spirit, and he says, you know, son, you've traveled all this time now, and it's time for me to let you know your purpose. And he says to him, you were raised by humans, but you are not one of them. You were here for a purpose. Did you capture that? You are not one of them, but you were here for a purpose. You have been born of the Spirit. Born afresh, born anew. You're living amongst the world, but you are not one of them. Now you are here for a purpose. I hope that resonates today in your heart. Because we've been born anew. And we have been raised here, but we are not one. We are our home is in heaven. We are just ambassadors here. Isn't that cool? We've been raised by them, but we are not one of them. And in the promises of the Lord, as we endure, he promises this crown of life. F.E. Marsh enumerates some of these blessings. He says, the blessings, an acceptance that can never be questioned. In other words, you got a ticket to come in the auditorium and you walk in. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Your acceptance will never be questioned. Oh, man might question you. You're a pastor? You know how many times I heard that? Are you kidding me? You're one of those? I've heard that over and over again. Your acceptance of God is never going to be questioned. An inheritance that can never be lost, 1 Peter tells us. No one can take you away from God. You are his, period. A deliverance that can never be excelled. There's nothing else. God has set you free, period. There's no levels of salvation. Those are no levels of God's love for you, right? A grace that can never be limited. God's love for you is not limited. His love for you is not diminished in any way. It's everlasting. A hope that can never be disappointed. A bounty that can never be withdrawn. God doesn't give you all these blessings. Ephesians 1, verse 3 tells us that we have all the blessings in the heavenly places. All the blessings. He doesn't then start taking them away from us. They're ours in Christ Jesus. This is the package we get when we come with the Lord. All the blessings, His presence, His love, His compassion. And He begins to pour all of that in you, His love and His care. Why? So that we pour it out to others. Work out this salvation that God has put in you. And begin to care and love upon the unlovable. There's some difficult people in the church. Did I say that? What? There's some difficult people. And so, here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to say, all right, you difficult people, you sit way over here. Now, if you come to the church and you're going to talk and disturb us, we're going to ask you to leave or move you. But or the rich people, you're going to sit over here, and the important people over here. But you guys, not so much about you. That's not what God does. We're all His children. He cares for all of us. His love does not diminish. A joy in Him should not diminish. If your joy in Christ is diminished, then you need to check your relationship. I'm not talking about your salvation, but your relationship with Him. Have you drifted away from Him? Because He hasn't drifted away from you. Remember I said, we're not going to get more of God in us, but we want to give Him more of us. And here's a promise, hold on to it. Those that draw near to Me, I will draw near to them. And so we have that responsibility to draw near to the Lord. Lord, this morning, I can't wait. I couldn't wait to come here today. Got up early, pushed my wife out of the shower, jumped in right after. I'm going to church. Right? But I was excited to come into the presence of the Lord with the body of Christ to study the Scriptures, because I can't wait to see what God is going to do through this little church. And as we begin to be dependent upon the Lord and come together in prayer. Listen, we have prayer meetings and meetings. If you haven't been coming, come. We need your prayers before the Lord. It's a nearness to God that can never be reversed. A peace that can never be disturbed. Is your peace with the Lord disturbed? Is Satan telling you, oh, you really messed up now? You really messed up now? Is Satan telling you that? Is that peace being disturbed? Who's disturbing the peace? You know, when Adam sinned against God, you know, we like to add our own voice to God. Adam, did you eat of the fruit of the tree? I don't think that's what he said. Or how he said it, that's what he said. But I think, oh, Adam, did you eat of the fruit? Do you have any idea what has just happened? You've walked away from Me. Do you have any idea? Because God is so much in love with us. I'm sure that broke His heart. He knew it was going to happen. It wasn't taken by surprise. But yet the reality is that we are depraved in our sin. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, man became totally depraved. And that's why we need to be saved. And Jesus is that Savior. A righteousness that can never be tarnished. We're going to be shining. Listen, it tells us that we're going to be we are clothed in His righteousness, but we're going to be clothed in white robes. Not stained with dirt, not mud, but clean, pure. That's right. Clean and pure. Our souls, listen, our minds, when we're with the presence of the Lord, are going to be clean and pure. There's not going to be any deception, any lust, any frustration. We're going to have this pureness in our hearts. We're getting there. This is the start. We've tasted to see that the Lord is good, right? If you've been a believer, He's come into your life and He's beginning to transform and change you. You've prayed and He's answered those prayers. The promise of the Lord is coming alive in you. And the more I obey Him, the more He begins to reveal Himself. I told you about Adam, right? Or Abraham. Abraham was told to leave. He partially obeyed the Lord. The Lord didn't reveal Him until he fully obeyed. And Jesus says in John 14, if you believe in Me, if you believe in Me, you'll believe in the Father. If you obey Me, you'll be loved by the Father. And if the Father loves you, I will love you. And He says, and I will begin to manifest myself in you. I will begin to show myself alive and true in you. So the choice is ours. He gives us a salvation that can never be canceled. And so it is in this faith, it is in this God, it is in this Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in me, the hope of glory, that James is telling us surrender to today. Be that bondservant as he is in. Don't doubt, but believe. Why? God has so much more for us. And what limits our relationship with God is what? Is us. It's doubt. It's saying, oh, there's no way God can use me. And God's saying, I want to use you. So I pray today that the Holy Spirit would just overwhelm you with his presence as you leave here today. Have that joy in your heart to know that God Almighty, the creator of the world, is dwelling within you, encouraging you, empowering you to walk with him. Amen.